This week we have the incredible zchus of reading the double parshios of Matos Maaseh, concluding Chumash Bamidbar. In the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, the Torah goes through an exhaustive listing of the 42 encampments of the Jewish people during their 40-year sojourn in the desert. Eila Maaseh b'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys that our ancestors took. And the Torah then goes on to list specifically each and every place in which they encamped during their 40 years in the desert. And the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, why does the Torah feel the need to go through each of these encampments? Why list them specifically by naming each particular location? So Rashi HaKadosh has his beautiful approach where he explains that sometimes when we think about the Jews in the desert over 40 years, we have this idea of them wandering around. But in fact, you see that over the course of 42 years, they only actually camped. I'm sorry, in the course of 40 years, they only actually camped in 42 places. And Rashi says the majority of these places, actually, again, they moved around in year number one of their encampment in the desert. And so the Torah is trying to paint for us an incredible picture that even in the midst of Onesh, even in the midst of punishment, that Klal Yisrael was condemned to wander the desert for 40 years, the chesed, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was clear and apparent in that he allowed them to have some semblance of a normal life. In other words, we often have this idea that our ancestors were like a nomadic tribe wandering the desert, going from place to place. But in fact, that's not the case. Although we were precluded from entering into Eretz Yisrael immediately, and we did have to wander the desert, there was an element of stability. We weren't going place to place, moving every single day. Over the course of the 40 years, we were really primarily stationary, located in a few primary locations, giving Klal Yisrael a sense of stability, albeit in the desert. But when one looks in the Sfarim, in Hasidic literature, so one begins to see that the names of these places contain deeper meanings as well as metaphoric messages. And it's one of those that I want to share with you. I want to share with you now, specifically focusing on Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yud Zayin. So in the midst of the listing all of the places, the Pasuk says, chapter 33, verse 17, Vayis'u mikivros ha-ta'avo vayachanu bechatzeros. Literally, they traveled from Kivros HaTaivo, which literally means the graves of passion. Now, of course, this is a reference to the place where there was the episode with the Slav, the quail, the Jewish people complained about meat or about not having meat. Kodesh Baruch Hu sends in a whole gust of Slav of the quail. They eat it, they die, called Kivros HaTaivo. So the Pasuk says they traveled from Kivros HaTaivo and they camped in Chatzeros, names of places. So again, on a simple level, Torah is telling me they went from point A to point B. They went from Kivros HaTaiva, which was point A, to Chatzeros, which was point B. But the great tzaddik Rabbi Yitzchak of Varka, the Varka Rebbe, says something so beautiful. He says, "Kedei lehisrachek min HaTaiva," there is an important lesson that it's being conveyed to us here. In order to distance oneself from passion. Now the taiva that he's talking about over here is passion or desire for inappropriate things. There are many things for which we are passionate, many things for which we possess desire. Some of those things are good. Some of them are exceptionally detrimental. And a lot of times we have to combat this sense of desire, these pushes and pulls towards different things in life, which if we allow ourselves to succumb to, could derail us from our incredible life mission. So the Torah says something amazing. Rabbi Yitzchak of Varka writes something amazing. Kedei lisrachek min ha-taiva. How do I distance myself from negative wants, passions, proclivities? How do I remove myself from the clutches of taiva? Ha-eitzehi. One of the strategies, says Rabbi Yitzchak of Varka, is lihios chador b'ra'ayon sha'olam hazeh eino elo chotzer ba'ovrim el habayis hakavua v'ua olam haba. So the Rebbe says something so beautiful. Everything depends on the nature of your relationship with this world. If a person looks at this world, olam hazeh, this physical world, this world in which we spend the maximum of 120 years, if you look at this world as the be-all and end-all of existence, It's easy to fall prey and to succumb to your passions, to your desires, and to your negative detrimental wants. If, however, a person understands that this world is but a gateway, this world is but a courtyard, is a prusdar, is a hallway to something greater, this temporal world is where I have the opportunity to do something great, to accomplish something beautiful, to amass and accrue zechuyos, merits that I can subsist on and live off of for all eternity in the true world, in Olam Haba. Then one is able to summon up the courage to resist temptation. If I recognize that this world, Olam Hazeh, is not the be-all, end-all, but rather it is but the chatzir, it is but the courtyard to the world to come, then I do my cost-benefit analysis. And I say to myself, yes, I would like to succumb to this desire. I would like to satisfy this want. I would like to go ahead and give in to this proclivity. But is it worth it? Because the little bit of pleasure that I'm going to get, or the lot of pleasure that I'm going to get in this world, will be short-lived, has a very limited shelf life. But the negative repercussions of these actions could go on and could endure for all eternity. Says the Rebbe, that's the meaning in the pasuk. Vayisu mikivros hataiva. If a person wants to remove himself from the grave of desire, you see, a person could get buried by their desires. It's maisim b'chol yom. You look around the world, we see it sometimes in people we know, and sometimes, nebach, we see it in ourselves. It is easy to get buried by your desires in this world. Whatever that's a desire for some people it's money, for some people it's immorality, for some people it's materialism. There's no shortage to the desires which seek to bring us down, and you could literally bury yourself in desire. But I don't want to be that person. I want to get away. I want to escape the clutches of my desires. Vayis'u mikivros ataiva. I want to journey away from the desires which seek to bury me and overwhelm me in the grave. How do I do that? Vayachanu b'chatzeros. Establish yourself. Embed yourself b'chatzeros, in the chatzer, in the courtyard. Remind yourself that this world is only a courtyard. Remind yourself that this world is only an antechamber. Remind yourself that what you do and what you don't do in this world doesn't only impact you for the 120 years that you're here, but it impacts you for all eternity in the world to come. When a person lives life with this perspective, that this world is a chatzer, then suddenly again, when I'm faced with the temptation of desire, I take a step back and I say to myself, okay, I could succumb to this desire. And what does it get me? It'll get me a few moments of pleasure, a few hours, a few days, a couple of months, maybe a few years, but it won't give me eternity. On the flip side, if I succumb to this desire and I give in, the negativity that is generated by my detrimental actions can impact me for all eternity. When you look at your life decisions through that lens, through that prism, suddenly everything takes on a different shade of understanding. Suddenly again, what do I allow myself to focus on versus what are the things that don't deserve my attention? What are the desires I should give into versus what are the desires that I should resist? If I understand that this world is a chatzer, it's just a courtyard, it reshapes the way that I think. Vayis'u mikivros hataiva. I want more than anything to travel away from the grave of desire. I do not want to be buried by my desires. How do I do that? Vayachanu b'chatzeros. Set up shop and camp in the chatzer. Remind yourself of the fleeting and temporal nature of our life in this world. Tonight, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. We go from Rosh Chodesh into Shabbos. And even though it's Rosh Chodesh Av, and Rosh Chodesh Av begins a month that is filled with incredible sadness. Mishenichnas Av Mema'atin B'Simcha. The month of Av comes, we diminish our joy because all the 9 days are coming. Tisha B'Av is coming, a time when we celebrate so much, commemorate so many catastrophic events. But even though it is a month that is filled with much sadness, nevertheless, it's a new month. And every single new month, every single Rosh Chodesh, brings with it untold possibilities and new beginnings. If last month, or if last year, or if the last number of years, or if all of my years have been marked by my inability to overcome my desires and my inability to overcome the things that are literally burying me day in and day out, Rosh Chodesh is here. New opportunities are here. New moments are here to begin again. This is the month to travel away from the detrimental desires that seek to bury us and to embrace the incredible destiny that awaits us. But I could only do that if I understand this world for what it truly is. This world represents the stage for incredible accomplishment, for incredible deeds, and for incredible self-actualization. But it is but a chatzer. It is only the courtyard which ultimately leads to an eternity of Olam Haba. May we find the strength to travel away from our desires. May we find the strength to move away from Kivros HaTaiva and find the correct perspective in Chatzeros. Wishing everyone a good Chodesh and a good Shabbos.